If you have your Bible this morning, let's turn to Luke chapter 2. Last Sunday morning, we were in Luke chapter 2 also. And if you were here last Sunday, many of you are here today who were not here. Last Sunday, we talked about an old man named Simeon. And it was the first Sunday after Christmas. And we were thinking about what happened to Jesus, what took place in his life. Right after he was born, we actually started last Sunday in verse 21. We talked about when he was 8 days old, he was circumcised and named Jesus. And in verse 22, they came back for this ceremony, this ritual that the Lord had commanded that women go through after they have children. And so that was about 40 days later when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished. They went back to Jerusalem to present Jesus to the Lord because it's written in the law, in the Old Testament, in the law of God, that every boy that is the firstborn would be called holy unto the Lord. And Jesus, of course, was firstborn. And in verse 24, they offered a sacrifice like the law had commanded them to do, and probably a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And we talked about that last Sunday. And then in verse 25, we talked about Simeon. He was an old man. We're not sure how old he was, but we think he was a very old man. And he had been waiting for the coming of the Messiah, waiting to see the day when the Messiah would come, and it would be Jesus. And the Holy Spirit had told him that he wouldn't die before he saw the Messiah. And that's exactly what happened in verse 26. It says that he would not see death before he'd seen the Lord's Christ or the Messiah. And in verse 27, Simeon came to the temple in the power of the Spirit. Parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. And when old man Simeon saw Jesus, he just had a fit. He got so excited he couldn't stand himself. And he took him up in his arms, that little baby boy that was the Son of God, God in flesh, took him up in his arms and just began to praise God with all there was in him. And he said, "Oh Lord, now I can die in peace. Oh, I can die in peace according to your word." And he talked about who Jesus was. And in verse 33, Joseph and his mother, they just marveled at those things which they heard, which was spoken of him. And the Simeon blessed them as well. And then he said unto them, something is going to take place in his life. There's going to be many rising in Israel and many falling in Israel. And a sword is going to pierce through your own soul, talking to Mary there, no doubt, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And so we made mention at the close of the sermon last Sunday that here was a prophecy of the cross, and it was there at Calvary that the sword pierced through the heart of Mary as well as through the body of the Lord Jesus there on the cross. So this morning now, having reviewed all of that, we come to verse 36. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband for 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years. How many years is that? How many? 84. That's right. 84 years. Who departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spoke of him to all those that looked for redemption in Israel. So this morning I want us to think about this old, old woman whose name was Anna. Now this is not about my wife. She is named Anna, and that's a wonderful name. But I don't call her an old, old woman at all. But this woman, Anna, is in our text. We could talk about Miss Wilma Arnold, couldn't we? Now, she's an older woman, that's right, having her 90th birthday, and what a wonderful thing that is, and we're celebrating that. But here was Anna, the prophetess, and she was an old, of great age, a very old woman. Let's look at some things about this lady named Anna. The name means grace. It's the word in the Old Testament, Hannah and Anna, the same words. And the word actually means grace. Grace. Marvelous grace. And I had us to sing that chorus this morning about amazing grace. Now it says that she was a prophetess. That means she was a woman prophet. Right? The men they call prophets, but the women they call prophetesses, prophetess, kind of hard to say. Now there's about five or six or seven prophetesses in the Bible, and I'm going to look at those scriptures with you. They're going to be on the screen. First of all, there was a lady named Miriam, and in Exodus chapter 15 and verse 20, we find the story about Miriam. Notice, and Miriam the prophetess, there's that word, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. When I was pastor down at Nashville a while, we had a senior adult choir, and one of the oldest women, you probably would know her if I told her name, she's passed away now, but we would sing as senior adults in the choir, and so Epps got a tambourine, and she started hitting her hip with that tambourine, and we got the biggest kick out of that. It was so much joy, it brought gladness into the service. She was playing that tambourine. Well, Miriam, the prophetess, she was the sister of Aaron, so therefore she would have been the sister of who else? Moses, that's right. So she took a timbrel in her hand, and the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. So she was called a prophetess. Now there's another word, another person, another woman named Deborah in Judges chapter 4 verse 4. And you may have realized this, or maybe you didn't know there were that many prophetesses mentioned in the Bible. This one is a lady named Deborah. Notice on the screen. And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, I don't know who he was, she judged Israel at that time. Now, she was a prophetess, judged over Israel at that time. Deborah was a very important woman, and we could read all of those verses about her, and you may want to go back and look at that later on and read about her, because if you feel women were not important in the Bible, you just hadn't read your Bible enough. You took somebody else's word who said that, but you hadn't been in the Bible as much as you ought to, because women are throughout from Genesis, from Adam and Eve, all the way through to the book of Revelation. And this lady, Deborah, was a very important prophetess. As a matter of fact, she had a word from God, and she told the leader of the army about that. And she said, his name was Barak, and she said, we're going to go out and we're going to fight and we're going to win that war, and you're going to kill the enemy, and the women are going to get all the praise. You're going to do the fighting and get the killing, but I'm going to get the praise, Deborah said, in all of that. She knew the will of God. In the New Living Bible, she said, I'm warning you, honor's going to go to a woman. Praise God, honor often does. And then there's another lady named Huldah. In 2 Kings chapter 22 and verse 14. I thought this was interesting enough that I would try to teach you about this morning. So Hilkiah the priest and Ahikam and Achbar and Shaphan and Azariah went unto Huldah, the prophetess, there she is, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tikvah, the son of Harhas, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college, and they communed with her. So there's another woman called a prophetess, one who would prophesy and speak forth the word of God to the people. Her name was Huldah. Then there's another one, her name, we don't know, Isaiah's wife. In Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 3, Isaiah said this about himself, I went unto the prophetess, must have been his wife, mustn't it? And she conceived, and she had a baby boy, and said the Lord to me, call his name, boy, you pronounce that, Mike, give me that, Marhashalahashabaz. Some of you girls now, you have a baby boy, and you could name him that, and he wouldn't be named like everybody else, would he? Mahershalahashbaz, or something like that. Anyway, this is Isaiah's wife, and she was a prophetess. And then there's Anna, the one that we're looking at there in the New Testament. And then in Acts 21, verse 8 and 9, there were some other prophetesses, and you may know this and you may not. And the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip, the evangelist, which was one of the seven, the deacons. He was a deacon in the church, and he had seven daughters, and they were living with him. And the same man had four daughters, wasn't seven, and the same man had four daughters. They were all virgins. They were pure in their life, and they prophesied. So here, Philip, the deacon, the evangelist, had four daughters, and they all were prophets, prophetesses. They prophesied. And this is in the day of the New Testament in the life of Paul there. So you find that women, and we could go on and on and on and talk about the women who had so much to do with the teaching of the gospel and the work of the Lord in all of the biblical days. And right up until today, I always think, what would the church be like without women? If suddenly all you ladies got up and left, it would leave a mighty few bunch of guys in here, and we probably wouldn't all know what to do because you're so important in the life of the church. Her name was Anna. The name means grace, and I believe there's an emphasis upon grace because she was a woman of God, and she was one who prophesied things about the Lord. She was a prophetess. Secondly, her name means grace. She was of the tribe, noticed in that scripture in Luke 2, she was of the tribe of Asher. Now, why does he mention that? Well, telling about her tribe, I won't say much about that, but Asher, among the 12 tribes of Israel, there were the tribe of Asher and some others rebelled against the authority of God in their lives. As a matter of fact, they got expelled out of the country. And so Asher was one of the 10 lost tribes of Israel. Many of you have heard about the 10 lost tribes, and there are all kinds of ideas about that. Don't believe they ever were totally lost. God knew where they were and knows where they are. But she was of the tribe of Asher. And when I read that, I think about the grace of God, even though there were others within the tribe that were not doing the will of God. In every group of people, there are those who are doing the will of God. And I just thought about that just now. On my Facebook page, some of y'all follow that. Yesterday I put something about the great revival that is going on in Iran. Did some of y'all read my article there? One of the missionaries in Arkansas did it, and I put it on my Facebook page. And this morning, my eye doctor, Dr. Teed, over in Arkadelphia and comes to Nashville and so forth, on his Facebook page, he put something about the same thing. Over in Iran, and there's so much in the news today, and we don't know whether Iran is going to come back and do some horrible things because our military, you see, using one of those fancy drones, took out the chief leader of the armed forces in Iran. And so we're anticipating that probably there's going to be some kind of retaliation. Something is going to happen. We don't know whether it will or not, but it may very well do that. And yet, and we think of the country of Iran, and yet the reports that are coming out from Christian people, if you haven't read that, go back to my Facebook page and look at it and read it. It is absolutely phenomenal. It is wonderful how many people, it said by the thousands, Muslim people in Iran are coming to Jesus. And one of the things, they had the picture, they had must have had 50 or 60 folks out there, and they were baptizing them in this big pool of water. And it said people had said that, you know, the church would probably die out, and it's against the law to do this evangelism and all of that. But in spite of that, it's just like in the book of Acts days, in spite of all the trouble in Iran, it said the strongest church and the fastest growing group of Christians is in Iran. And I read that and I thought, with all the bad news and all that kind of thing, we need to remember that God is God, and He is still moving in the world and convicting people of sin, whether Muslims or Buddhists or atheists or whatever they may be. The Lord is still convicting people, and folks are being saved. To me, that was so exciting. And I thought about that tribe of Asher. She was an old woman, and great grace was upon her. Anybody know how old she might have been? We have all kind of ideas about that. Mike, you've probably got it figured out. That's what I was going to say. That's what I'd written down. It says that Anna was probably about 104. In other words, she got married, and she was a virgin up until her marriage, and they usually married about 14 years of age. And then she lived with her husband 7 years. We don't know what happened to him, but he died. And now she had been a widow, what, for 84 years. So if you add all that up, she was an old, old woman. And Miss Wilma, you got some years to go. You're 90. 10 more years, you can be 100. And then you might live to be 104. Did your father live to be what? Your father lived to be, so we're going to count on that, aren't we? Amen. That's right. But she was probably about 104 years old. Great grace was upon her. And the one thing about Anna that stands out in my mind, she was a widow, and she was young when her husband passed away. And apparently she stayed a widow all of that time, did not remarry. It actually says she was a virgin all this time too, sexually pure and so forth. She wasn't bitter. Far as we know, she wasn't resentful. And I see that true in this church and all the churches around, of people who continue to serve the Lord no matter what their condition in life may be. Older people serving God. And she was just like Simeon. She was waiting for the day when redemption would come to Jerusalem. Waiting and waiting for the Lord. I started to sing a song. I bet you that Stephen could have probably played it, couldn't you? Since I started, for the kingdom, since my life He controls, since I gave, sing it, my heart to Jesus, the longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. I remember down in Nashville singing that with one of the older ladies. She used to play the piano for me at the nursing home. And one Sunday, I said, come on up here. And we were celebrating her old birthday. And I said, we're going to sing a duet today. And we sang, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. That ought to be in you young ladies' minds and in all of you, everybody, serving the Lord all of your life, never giving up, always living for Jesus as long as you live, no matter what takes place in your life. And that's what Anna did. She was the lady who, and it says, now notice what it says about her. She was in the temple, departed not from the temple. Now, there's a lot of discussion about that. Did she live in the temple? Well, they say nobody, I think even the priest did, high priest did, but nobody else actually lived in the temple. So it may mean as often as possible she was in the temple. Day and night she was there. And that's kind of how some of you all are. You all are in church. Some of you ladies, no matter what, it doesn't matter whether anybody's with you. You're coming by yourself. You're going to be in the Lord's house. You're going to be worshiping the Lord. You're going to let people know that you love Jesus and that you love His church. Well, she was in the temple serving God, fasting and praying both day and night. Now, let me say a few things about Anna here. David Platt was our director of our International Mission Board. And we've had him on video before here. He's not now. We have another guy. But David Platt a few years ago wrote a book, and the title of it is Radical. You may want to copy that down. You may want to go get a copy of it. Have any of you read the book by David? You have. By David Platt. Well, you've done everything there. Yeah, I read all those books. But it's called Radical. And his idea was, using the word radical, that in the New Testament days, the Christians, as we read about them, would all be considered radical in their devotion to God. They were sold out. They love God more than anything else, and so they were radical. So I use that word, radical, to think about Anna. And notice about six things, if you want to copy them down. Number one, Anna was radically pure. She was radically pure. The Bible says she was a virgin until she married, and after she married, she was a virgin also, and true to the Lord. That's not always true in those days or in our day, but she was radically pure. And that's the way we ought to be, the way that we ought to be. I was talking with someone just this week, a lady, and she was telling me about her daughter. And the daughter's almost 30 years old. And she said, growing up, she was the sweetest girl. Oh, she just seemed to love the Lord and love all of us. And she was so smart, and she could have done anything in this world. And then she began to tell me this awful story about the way suddenly she began to go with all these guys, these young men that were not worth a dime. They had all kinds of problems and all kinds of addictions. And pretty soon she had a baby and another and all that. Went in another marriage and another divorce, another marriage, another divorce. And she said, now then she's pregnant, living with this guy. They're not even married, and in a trailer house somewhere way out in the country there. And she went on and she said, and she started crying, and she said, it breaks my heart. There was so much potential. If she would have only, she said, I think she was saved when she was a little girl. She made the profession of faith, but she said, I begin to wonder if she's really saved or not. And I thought, how sad, but we see that happening, and it ought never to happen. It ought never to be that way. And Anna was one of those who was radically pure, and I wish all of us would be radically pure. Men and women, it would like. Number two, Anna was radically simple. She was radically simple. She may have been real poor. We don't know about that. Some have speculated maybe those 7 years she lived with a husband and had a husband, he may have been real well off. And so when he died, he may have really left her in a good shape financially. That's just speculation. We don't know about all of that. But she may have been a very poor person. But it does seem that she was radically simple in that apparently clothes and all the homes and all the things that women live their life for must not have been important to her. Living a simple life is so very important for the person who wants to be like Jesus. It really and truly is. And not majoring upon everything in life as being concerning the almighty dollar. She spent her time and her energy upon God. Number three, she was radically worshipful. She worshiped the Lord day and night with tears and fasting in repentance. Not just once in a while. She served the Lord. She worshiped Him. Number four, Anna was radically prayerful. She loved to pray. Here last week, I believe, one of our real good friends in Texarkana, she and her folks had just gotten back from New York and they got back home and she had to have this real awful surgery and everything seemed to be going really wrong. And so I noticed on her Facebook page, she put out a call, out a cry for prayer warriors. And I saw the people who responded, you know, who answered her back, and there were so many. And she said, "Oh, you all are the people I can depend upon." Some people you ask to pray for you, and you probably know they're probably not ever going to do it. They're going to say, "Okay, I will," but you know that they're going to forget it as soon as they leave your presence. But there are so many in this church, so many of you women and men too, but you're prayer warriors. And whenever you say you're going to pray for someone, you do it. And you may pray with fasting and day and night praying to the Lord. Jackie McCullough back there asked us in the men's group a while ago, Jackie. He said, "Pray for my sister-in-law. She's in a coma over in Euless, Texas. And the doctors give her no hope to live. She's so sick." And some of the guys said, "Well, but a miracle could happen." And so we prayed, and we need to pray. In other words, he was asking the men in the Sunday school class, whom he considered to be prayer warriors, to pray for his sister-in-law. We need prayer warriors, do we not? Oh, how we need it more than ever before in the history of our country. So she was radically prayerful. Number five, she was radically prophetic. You see, the religious leaders all around Jerusalem, they missed Jesus. He came unto his own, but his own received him not. He came and they missed him. They didn't see him for who he was. Even when they finally gathered the enemies together and he was nailed to the cross by the Roman soldiers, yet they rejected Christ. But this Anna, this simple, wonderful lady, so close to God, she knew Jesus. She knew him when she saw him. When she heard Simeon lift him and say, "This is the one we've been waiting for." The spirit within her spoke and said, this is Jesus. And number six, Anna was radically redemptive. It says that she spoke of him to all of those who were looking for redemption in Jerusalem. In other words, she was not afraid to witness. She was not afraid to tell about Jesus. And it's so important in your life, whether you're a woman or a man, a boy or a girl, if we are saved, we need to be telling others about how we were saved, how they need to be saved, so they can come to Christ and become a child of God. So Anna was radically pure. She was radically simple. She was radically worshipful. She was radically prayerful. She was radically prophetic. And she was radically redemptive. What a lady. And a good example for all of us, whether you're 90 or however old Anna is, or however old Brian is over here, he's got a birthday today. We pray for all of you women, and we pray that God will help all of you to be like we are too, but that you will be more and more like this lady who stood out in the Bible as being a wonderful woman of God and served him 104 years, never quit. And it would seem probably in her life, the longer she served him, the sweeter he grew. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for this lady named Anna in the Bible, and I thank you for all the ladies within our church. And I pray, Father, that you would help all of them and all of us to serve you, to not ever stop, to not ever quit, to not ever run away from you, but run towards you. And Father, I pray that if some are here this morning and they've been running from and they've been going away from commitment to you like Anna had and Simeon had, I pray, oh God, that they will come back and they will come back and put their hand in your nail-scarred hand. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.